Dear Lord, dear Father God, we pray for this section of the service. We pray for the bits and pieces that I've read. We pray for all of the words that were written down in the Bible hundreds of years ago that I'm going to read through. We pray for the thoughts that have turned up in my head. We pray for the thoughts that turn up in people's hearts and in minds and souls as we are just chatting amongst ourselves. So pray that you will speak to us, and we pray that we will be able to listen. Amen. This, you might not be able to see anyway, that's a hashtag. There's a thing on your computer keyboard, on your typewriter, which is called hash. In the olden days, it used to mean that a number was following. But now it's got a really special significance on various different websites and various different parts of social media. If you put a hashtag before a string of letters, anybody else who writes that in their little message, you can find what they have written as well. It's fantastic in the football season, because if you type in your message what you thought about hashtag Stoke v Villa, then you can find out what everybody else thought about hashtag Stoke v Villa. Things like, we're joint top, that kind of thing. So if you put in hashtag happy, you can find out all the other people who have chosen to write hashtag happy in their little message. Now, doing the rounds in the last couple of years has been a hashtag, and it is hashtag first world problems. Hashtag first world problems. And hashtag first world problems is a chance for people to describe their complaints, which when you read them back to yourself, sound ridiculous. Because they can't possibly be that important. Because people in poorer parts of the world, people in places that we've been talking about today, would be glad even to have the opportunity to have those problems. So on Facebook a few weeks ago, I asked anybody who saw it to give me some ideas about some first world problems. And I looked up some, and I've written down some of my own. See if you can work out which are my own. So first world problems. My laptop's fingerprint reader doesn't recognize my fingerprint after I had a long shower. My coffee mug is so insulated that it takes ages to reach drinkable temperature. This is mine. My Wi-Fi doesn't reach beyond the patio. This is one I got from the internet. My night's sleep was disturbed by the noise of the fountains outside the hotel window. My wardrobe doors won't close properly because I have too many clothes. My favourite jeans have pockets that are too small for my iPhone. This is one of mine. My car's parking sensors are broken, so now I have to turn round when I'm reversing. My name isn't available on Coca-Cola bottles, so I have to buy one that says my dog's name. My secretary has just popped out to give blood. I now have to make my own coffee. It's not me, I don't like coffee. My toothbrush is out of batteries. My TV remote is too far away for me to reach without moving. My skybox isn't getting signal because it's raining so hard. And this is my favourite because this one is mine. I thought about this the other day. It's quite long, but I like it. My journey to work is so short that the heated seats aren't even warm by the time I arrive. Heather says, Jonah was patriotic and brave. Heather says, Jonah wanted to sacrifice himself so that Assyria would be destroyed. Heather says, he is a national hero of Israel. I say, Jonah is never happy, and he loves his tree. That's it. Thank you very much. So, Bible bit. If you've got your Bible in front of you, it's from the last verse of Jonah 3, and then it's the whole of Jonah 4. It's only about 12 verses. Jonah had been asked to go to Nineveh for a second time. And the people of Nineveh had, via the king, seen the error of their ways. Okay. So when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and didn't bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do. I'm angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, so you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? So God asks questions. There's a list of questions that God asks. Jonah has a rant. I knew you'd do that. I just knew it. I knew before I even went. I knew that you would let them off. I knew it. Because you're lovely. I knew it. And Jonah doesn't get told off by God. He just gets asked some questions. And there are situations that happen like that throughout the Bible. To Adam, where are you? To Cain, what have you done? To Hagar, where are you going? To Elijah, what are you doing here? To Saul, what have you done? Jesus asked questions. Who touched me? Why did you doubt? Do you also want to leave? Could you not watch for 1 hour? To Jonah, God asks, is it right for you to be angry? And is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Jonah's response, he doesn't like take a moment and go, oh, let me think about that. He just gets straight in there, back with an answer. No, I wish I was dead. No, I am so angry, I want to die. Jonah hasn't given even time for the sentence or the question to sink in. Now, I do want today for you folks to, and me to give time for a couple of questions to sink in. Pete, a few weeks ago, talked about quick to listen, slow to talk. Jonah hadn't listened to Pete's sermon. So I'll start with some questions. Who are we? Who are we that it is okay to be angry with God? Who are we that it is okay to be angry with God? Now, don't get me wrong, he can take it. And folks here will often say, I was just so angry with God. Fair enough. God can take it. God can take a lot of things. But I will ask the question again. Who are we that it is okay to be angry with God? Sometimes at school, students react angrily to all sorts of stuff. Being told off, being asked to do something, being asked to get on with their work, being asked to pick their pencil up, all sorts of things. They react angrily. And I usually say something like, Why are you being angry with me? I'm lovely. God is more patient, more forgiving, more gentle, and more loving than I will ever be. Why are you being angry with God? He's lovely. So back to Jonah. He's found himself a lovely little perch. He's got himself a lovely shady tree. He's there with his thermos, waiting for the destruction of a city. What a strange situation. It's just, I've got my feet up. Let's see what sort of show God's going to put on. That's what he's doing. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like a ludicrous thing to do. But he was waiting to see what God would do to the city. So he's just there, going, right, entertain me. That's what he's waiting for. It's possible to read, I reckon, it's possible to read through the entire story of Jonah and looking for times he was happy. He wasn't happy when he was running away. He wasn't happy when he was in the boat. He wasn't happy when he was in the sea. He wasn't happy when he was in the fish. He wasn't happy when he was vomited, presumably, although that must have been a relief. He wasn't happy when he got told to go back. He wasn't happy when he told them. He wasn't happy at God's results, but he was happy when he was on his little perch waiting for the destruction of the city. And then the vine died. First world problems. Hashtag first world problems. My front row seat at the destruction of Nineveh isn't shady enough. He's happy to watch the destruction of a city. He's hoping for the destruction of a city. But his biggest complaint is that he's getting sunstroke. So his first world problems are because he can't see past the fact that he's angry at this plant. So some questions for you again. Is it right for you to be angry? Now, the stuff we've talked about today, the stuff that I've mentioned to you about, all these countries where stuff is happening that is really hideous. I don't know what the right emotion to have about all that stuff is. I know that one right emotion is compassion. And I guess there must be a sense where anger about what is going on is a perfectly justified thing. And Jonah wasn't criticized by God for being angry at Nineveh. He was criticized about being angry at him. He was criticized because he was angry at a plant. Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry about a plant? What is God asking you? Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? We'll come on to the plant in a minute. Is it right for you to swear so much? Is it right for you to gossip? Is it right for you to moan all the time? Is it right for you to? And you need to fill that gap in for yourself. Or ask someone that you trust. Because when other people see us, they are seeing Jesus. Jonah was not Jesus. Jonah is allowed to let himself down. We are allowed to let ourselves down. But Jesus does not let himself down. And when other people see us, they see Jesus. So where I said, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to swear so much? Other people are asking this question. Is it right for Jesus to swear so much? Is it right for Jesus to gossip? Is it right for Jesus to moan all the time? When we are doing these things, it isn't us. It is us. It's our reputation and stuff, but it's much more than that. It is Jesus' reputation that is being mucked around with. So Jonah, he was all those things that Heather said. I'll read them again because the list is great. Patriotic and brave. He wanted to sacrifice himself so that Assyria would be destroyed. He was a national hero of Israel. Yes, but he wasn't Jesus. He did a load of other stuff that let the side down. And one of them was not to be able to see past moaning about this plant dying. Here we go. This is the question for you. What plant are you angry about? I don't mean a plant, do I? What is the plant? What is that situation that really gets you going. Because if it's a really important thing, then I guess that's kind of fair enough. If your plant happens to be the plight of the Christians in Iraq, then I guess that's fair enough. If your plant is someone always leaving the toilet lid down, I've no idea. It's just if there is something that really gets you going, then when other people see you doing that, they're not only seeing you. They are seeing Jesus being annoyed about a plant. So I'll ask it again. Don't react in the way that Jonah did straight away. Quick to think or quick to listen, slow to talk. Build up this answer in your own mind. What plant are you angry about? You and me are making it seem that that's what Jesus is angry about. If your anger is justified because it's a huge thing, but if your anger isn't justified because it's actually a first world problem, it's a bit pathetic, you are making everybody else think that that is what Jesus is angry about. At Holiday Club this week, we taught the kids that God's love is wider, deeper, stronger, greater, and forever. We taught them that he loves us whatever we've done. We taught them that he loves us whatever we are like. We taught them that God can always see the bigger picture even when we cannot. Ask God this week to show you the plant that you are angry about. Ask him to take it away from you. Ask him that you will be able to trust him with the bigger picture. We got the kids to think about that. We should be thinking about that as well. I bow before your majesty. I fall before your throne. I cannot understand your love, but I claim it as my own. I cannot understand God's love. I cannot understand God's plans. I cannot understand the miracle of resurrection. I cannot understand why that means I get eternal life. I cannot understand those things. So let's not pretend that we get it. Let's leave God to sort out the bigger picture. If there are angers about plants that are getting in God's way, getting in his way, and getting in our way, let's acknowledge those to our Lord. Right, Jonah wasn't straightforward, just like all of us. He was a hero. He was a man of God. He was determined. He was brave. He was stubborn. He was petulant. He was flawed. And God used him to transform a city. Found this little thing. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stutter. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep whilst praying. Martha worried. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. And God used all of those people. God used all of those flawed people who were presumably angry about all sorts of different plants. What plant are you angry about? Because you are making it seem that that's what Jesus is angry about. I'm just going to finish with this. And you're going to have to, but just I'm going to have to ask you to suspend some belief just for a second. We put stuff in the left-hand side and it came out bigger on the right-hand side as a kind of story of God's love and his ability to do the much bigger things. We give him a little bit and he gives us something massive. So for you, for us, for me, if the mega machine is going to work in your life, it's going to work in our lives, I'm just going to here put in this side a mustard seed. Let's pray that as these weeks go by, God can use that mustard seed of our faith to grow something really, really huge together. Right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for that list of people who are your people that is given in the Bible. And thank you for their flaws. Thank you that none of them deserved to be revered as heroes and to be worshipped because of the things that they did wrong. Thank you that the only person who managed to live a life as a human without having any of those flaws is you, Jesus. We thank you for the example of Jonah, though, that you were willing to use him to do fantastic things, even though he was a flawed human. Help us to work out what our plant is, what plant we are angry about, and help us to do something about that. Take those angers away from us. Take those things away from us that are a poor reflection of you. Thank you for the words that I was able to say, but I pray more for the words that have been put into people's hearts because of this time here together. Amen.